Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
All right, last night when I was doing a draft and I was yelling about the Giants, I got the word that John Havlicek had passed away at the age of 79. He had been suffering a little bit from dementia. This is special, and I would stop the show today with all the Giant stuff for very few things, but I will for the passing of John Havlicek. He was that special. In our house, he was incredibly special. There were only a few athletes that were revered on the walls in our house when we were growing up. Bob Gibson was one, Bart Starr, obviously John Havlicek. Our dog was named Hondo. This was one of the great iconic figures in the history of this league, and to me, symbolized a discipline, a versatility, a toughness, a two-way ability, and a clutch that you've seen in very few players. Eight-time NBA champion, legendary figure, and Bob Ryan, who probably saw him play more games than anybody alive, and knows those Celtics better than anybody, joins us now. Bob, sad day for me, sad day for Boston, because, you know, there are a few athletes I revere more than John Havlicek.
Well, I think you summed them up very nicely, Mike, from an opposing viewpoint, if you will. It's a very sad personal day for me. John was a friend. John was somebody that helped guide me into learning what the NBA was all about. When I started covering the team at age 23 back in 1969. I feel very proprietary toward John. I was privileged to do a book with John, and I'm very saddened by this, of course, but it brings back some tremendous memories of one of the fun times of my life was covering those Celtics.
Well, how about for people who don't understand, I think, and I've said this before, Larry Bird coming along, different things, the different kind of players that people revere now. Havlicek got lost in the shuffle, I think, with the player as people look back. Because they never count him, and I always argue with people about him, and they forget how talented he was and how great an athlete he was. Could have played football, could have played baseball, we know that. We know how clutch Havlicek stole the ball, the shots, the bridging the gap. He still holds all the Celtic records, right, for scoring and for games and for everything else, right? So put, if you can, Havlicek in Boston Celtic perspective.
There's a clear Mount Rushmore of the Boston Celtics. There's no argument. And in chronologically speaking, it would be Cousy, Russell, Havlicek, and Bird. Each was a distinct player with a distinct style, left a distinct mark, not only on Celtic history, but on basketball history. John Havlicek, you are so right, is underrated. He is, I think, without question, the most underrated super-duper star in the history of basketball.
I totally agree.
People do not recognize that he was every bit Oscar Robertson and Jerry West equal. And in fact, for the last and at the end of their career, as he was still in his prime, he was better than both of them.
Well, he's better defensively, especially.
Each of them he guarded.
Yep.
And this is while he was, moonlighting as a two guard when he was, by natural instinct, a small forward. He was the best two-position player of his time in an era when the game positions were very delineated, and unlike the game we have today. The game today is a different game. We now only have bigs.
Yep.
And wings and ball handlers
and pick and roll and isolation, and that's all we have anyway.
Yeah, it's a different game. And so but in that game, he's the greatest two position player ever. He was an all star level, an all league level small forward, and an all league level two guard. And by the way, he could play point guard as well. And in fact, had many triple doubles before we knew what they were.
Okay. A great defensive player, and also incredibly wasn't a great shooter. He was a scorer, not a great shooter, but also a great clutch player.
Yes, exactly. And you're right about the scoring. He holds not Bird, not Pierce, is the all-time Celtic scorer, and this is without the three. consider. Those other two had the benefit of the three, and John did have three-point range. He made many long jump shots, and then if he were encouraged to take more of them with the bonus of the three, he would have been he would have benefited greatly. So he had three-point range, and you're right about the defense. He was a eight-time all first team defense. He was when he came into the league, it was all about that. It was all about he did two things, Mike, as a rookie. He ran the floor on offense, ran the floor and caught layup passes from Cousy, ran around, got open, and got garbage points, and he guarded. He went home after his rookie year, took about a trillion jump shots, came back, and became a scorer, a big-time all-around scorer, which he was for the remainder of his career.
Amazing. And two things stick out to me, that classic series against West, and then as an old man, him shutting down Julius Erving, which was just unbelievable to watch.
So I nice mean, of you to remember that, because people do not know that, but in the 1977 playoffs, when Julius was in his prime and John was 37 years old, he turned 37 on April 8th, 1977, he absolutely neutralized Dr. J, and as the Celtics took a vastly superior, talented Sixer team to a seventh game. And yes, he did. And that's very nice of you to remember that. I just want to say one thing, because I don't want this to go unnoticed. The sixth man thing actually hurts his reputation. It distorts the reality of John Havlicek. Yes, he came off the bench the first 6 years of his career. It was a luxury only the Boston Celtics could afford. On no other team, no other team could have possibly had the possibility of keeping him on the bench for any period of time.
And he was probably number two in minutes played, right?
Thank you. His second year, he was number two behind Russell in minutes and remained that way for the remainder of his six-man time. So only Russell, who never came out, played more minutes as a Celtic in the next 6 years than John did. And then when Russell retired and John became the unquestioned focal point of the team, he led the league in minutes played twice in his mid-30s, averaging 45 minutes a game while playing at a pace unmatched before or since. There, you know, when you're trying to compare him, younger fans listening to this and say, who's he like? The problem is there is no frame
no,
of reference.
No, there is no. There's nobody like
style,
him.
There's no frame of reference.
No, there really isn't. There isn't that kind of player anymore, especially that kind of two-way player. And he was so good, and he was such a, you know, to watch him and watch him against those Laker teams with West, watch him against those great Knick teams, or watch him then later against those Sixer teams. I mean, and bridging the gap and then winning those championships without Russell, which were key, you know, leading that next group and winning with JoJo and winning with Silas and winning with, you know,
Cowan,
those guys. And Cowens. And, of course, who am I forgetting? The other guard was
Chaney
and JoJo. Yes, Chaney and JoJo.
Chaney, JoJo, then Charlie Scott, Paul Silas. He was by that time, he was the elder statesman, unquestioned leader. And by the way, I'm going to be very categorically clear on this. The absent centers, Kareem was Kareem. Wilt was Wilt. There were a lot of great centers in the league in the early 70s in a way that we do not have them today. The game is different. He was the best player in the league, period. He was the best player from 1969 to 1974.
I have no argument.
He was the single best basketball player in the world.
I agree. We're talking with Bob Ryan. I totally agree. I hold him in the same way. Does Boston revere him the way you and I do? Does Boston care about him anymore?
Yes, and the thing that he always made, you know, be in Boston, it's the one play in 1965 on April 15th in the last 3 seconds of Game 7 against that will always keep him as a. He's not just a great player and a revered figure. He's a folk hero. That Havlicek stole the ball,
Havlicek
was immortalized by
ball.
Johnny Most celebrated call, and he, you know, so that gave him a little extra layer of celebrity, if you will, and he'll always be remembered. So, he's respected and revered in Boston.
And was really one of the great American athletes. I mean, grew up with the Negroes, could run all day. I mean, if you ever heard Bob Knight, as I did, talk about him, he revered him. I mean, and, you know, from those great Ohio State teams. And but not only that, I mean, he was a great football player, could have played on the Cleveland Browns when they were championship team. He could have, you know, he was fighting Paul Warfield, who became a Hall of Famer, for a spot. They said he was a great baseball player. I mean, this was one of the great athletes produced in this country.
No, no question. And you're right. How about the fact that in that little town of Lansing, Ohio, he grew up basically across the street from Phil and
it's unbelievable.
Phil was his rebounder on his high school basketball team.
It is amazing.
And John was the star player, of course, but Phil did the dirty work. He did the rebounding, and but he was so that area has produced a lot of football players in the time. And but John clearly is the best athlete of them.
Well, I hope this weekend when the Celtics are going to be playing, will they remember Havlicek? I hope they do.
Oh, I'm sure. I'm sure they will. And I just want to say this too. We talked about him as a player. But what really
great guy
John,
too. Yes.
What made John special is his humility and his graciousness. And there's no negative. There's nobody you will not, Mike. If you brought 1,000 people that played against him or with him or knew of him, and there wouldn't be one person who would have one single anecdote, because there were none.
No, he was great. Thanks very much, Bob. We appreciate
Thanks
it.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you. My pleasure. That's on the passing of John Havlicek, who I agree with Bob, the most overlooked player in modern basketball history. And the reason why was, as Bob said, Red Auerbach liked to have this sixth man, and he liked to bring Havlicek in off the bench, even though he would play, other than Russell, the most minutes on the team. And he did it for year after year after year, and people dealt with him like he was a sixth man. But really, in that era, before he took over the team when Russell got old, and then when Russell left, he, you know, was looked at as a guy who came off the bench, but that was their plan, and he never cared. And he always guarded the other guy's best player, too. Always. Absolutely always. Brilliant. Brilliant player. We'll get back to your Giant calls or whatever else is on your mind, which I'm sure it is the Giants, right after this.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.